go with me to Genesis chapter 6. I want to look at one verse, verse 14. And if I was to put a title to this, I'd simply call it, "And thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." And thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Genesis chapter 6. This is the Lord instructing Noah in building the ark because of the coming flood. And we're going to read verse 14. It says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make it in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." Let's pray this morning. Lord, I just ask that you would help me. Just these thoughts that you put in my heart. Father, I just pray that they would speak something of life to us this morning. Father, we're going to take an old truth and just present it in a new way. And Lord, just one more time, let there just be a freshness, Lord, in our heart, and a freshness in our appreciation, Lord, about the blood of Jesus, God. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So in verse 14, the Lord instructs Noah to build an ark out of gopher wood, and he tells him to pitch the ark within and without with pitch. And what I want us to understand is pitch is simply acts like tar. It acts like cement. It's something that's used to fill in the cracks. So ultimately what the Lord is doing is he's giving Noah wisdom and how to keep the rain out of the ark. That's what he's doing. And some time ago we preached a sermon about this, and we talked about how when the Lord was giving Noah wisdom to how to keep the rain out of the ark, it represents to us today how the Lord just gives us authority and he gives us discernment and how to keep the ungodly influences out of our homes and out of our dwelling places. You know, we talked about how the Sodomites were pressing upon Lot's house to get into that house and defile the angels and to defile everything that was of God in that house. And how that represents our culture today and the depravity and the sinfulness, how it's constantly pressing upon Christian homes because it wants to get into those homes and defile everything that is of God in those homes. But yet the Lord gives us authority. He gives us a God-given authority to keep the ungodly, worldly things out and to keep the blessing of God in. But as I was looking at this verse again, there was something else that I saw that really spoke to me in a very simple way, but it was a powerful way. You see, the purpose of pitching the ark both on the outside and the inside was to make the ark watertight. You know, we need to understand that the smallest leak in that ark could have had grave consequences because of the massive storm that they were facing and that the ark was in. So the pitch was to make the ark impenetrable, impossible for the smallest seepage to plague the ark. And here's what I want us to see. That word pitch used there in verse 14, it's a very interesting word in the Hebrew language. It's actually the word in the Old Testament that's used for atonement. That word pitch actually means atonement, and it's used for atonement. The same word is used 73 times in the Old Testament for atonement. It is the Hebrew word used in Exodus 29:36, and it says, "And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement." It's the same word used in Numbers 15:25. It says, "And the priest shall make atonement for all the children of Israel." And here is my very simple point. In this New Testament age, Jesus is the ark of our salvation. And his atoning blood is watertight. Nothing can pass through the blood. In other words, there's not an accusation of the enemy. There's not a charge of the enemy. There's not an indictment of the enemy that can pass through the blood. Beloved, when it comes to the grounds of accusation, the enemy has no access point at all, not even one the size of a pinhole. The blood is accusation tight. The blood is accusation tight. Amen. Now, I want you to go with me to chapter 7. I want to look at a verse in chapter 7. I'm going to look at one verse. Verse 12 says, "And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights." Now, does everybody see that word "upon" in verse 12? Do you see the word "upon"? "And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights." Listen, this word "upon" really fails miserably at defining the Hebrew meaning. See, in the Old Testament, the original word, the original Hebrew word for "upon" is defined 441 times in the Old Testament, and it means to be against or to combat. In the book of Joshua, it's used 9 times, meaning to war against. So, beloved, the Hebrew word for "upon" literally implies to be an adversary, to violently oppose. And it fits Noah's account. You see, this rain wasn't just upon the earth. It was violently opposing, violently warring against and destroying everything that had breath in it. And there wasn't anything in the entire earth that could resist its power. That's what that word "upon" means. You look it up in the concordance, it simply means to war against, to oppose. And that's what's happening here. This rain that's coming is warring against every living creature upon the earth, and it really has one means, and that's to slay every living creature in the earth. And there wasn't anything in the earth that could resist its power. And here's what I'm saying. This element was so powerful, it was able to slay the whole earth and every single living thing in it, and yet it was powerless to penetrate the ark. That rain, that flood, it was powerful enough to destroy every living thing in the earth, but it was powerless to penetrate the ark. And this reminds me of the one indictment Satan has that has the power to slay the entire earth. Satan can argue that man is corrupted to the very core by sin, that there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. From the fall of Adam to this present moment, every single person that's ever lived in the earth is corrupted to the core by sin. Our thoughts are corrupted by sin. Our actions are corrupted by sin. Our motives are corrupted by sin. Our desires are corrupted by sin. Our speech is corrupted by sin. He could put all the earth on trial and slay the earth with this one charge, and yet his indictment, though it's powerful enough to slay the earth, it's powerless to penetrate through the blood. It's powerless. Now look with me. Just want to go through a few things here. Look with me at verse 13, chapter 7, verse 13, and verse 16. It says, "In the selfsame day enter Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and 3 wives of his sons with them into the ark." Look with me at verse 16. It says, "And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." And the Lord shut him in. You know, what I like about verse 13 is it mentions Noah and his sons by name. And I just want to say I appreciate that, because really, our salvation is a very personal salvation. It's a very personal gospel. You know, Jesus died for the sins of the world, but he died for my sins personally. And what I so appreciate about that is Jesus died for my sins, and he broke the power of shame over my life. Listen, there are things that I've done in my past, and I would pray to God that you would never find out some of the things I've done in my past. But even if you did find out, Jesus broke the power of shame over my life. And I don't walk in that shame anymore. And I thank God that it's a very personal gospel, a very personal salvation. Now, verse 17 says the Lord shut him in. And that implies two things. The Lord shut him in. First of all, it implies Noah was powerless to shut himself in. You see, the shutting of the ark door symbolizes having the strength to overcome the flood. As powerful as the flood is, I have the strength to keep it out. Well, beloved, we know if it wasn't for the strength of God, Noah would have been just as hopeless, just as helpless, just as powerless, and just as doomed as the rest of the earth. It took the strength of God to shut that door. And the earth is filled with people trying to shut the door of their own ark. They're trying to save themselves with good works. They're trying to save themselves with religious performances. They're trying to save themselves with pious duties. But all these things are powerless against the power of sin. Man is born spiritually dead, and it doesn't matter how good you are and how many good things you do, the power of sin has already slayed you. And we have to remember, Jesus didn't come to the earth to make bad people good. He came to the earth to make dead people live. Amen. Secondly, it means because God shut the door, there wasn't a power outside the ark that could open that door. And in this new covenant way, when we're covered by the blood and God has shut us into his salvation, there isn't an accusation of the enemy that can open the door of Christ again. There's not an accusation. Not long ago, a very broken man walked into my father's church just desperately looking for something. And the anointing of God was upon the service, and the man came to the altar and he gave his life to Jesus. And immediately there was transformation in his life. Immediately there was fruit in his life. But see, this man was freshly out of prison. And the reason why he was in prison is because he was molesting children. He was a child molester. And they caught him and put him in prison. But when he got out of prison, he was seeking for a different life. He was seeking for a changed life, and he wandered into my father's church, and he got miraculously saved. Well, when one of the ladies of another church found out he was now coming to my father's church, she called my mom, and she said, "Do you know who you have in your church? You have a child molester in your church. Keep him in your church. We don't want him in our church. You have to keep him there." Listen, beloved, I know what he did was a horrible act, but there is not an accusation from the enemy or an accusation from our own hearts that can open that door again. When God says, "I remember your sins no more," God means, "I remember your sins no more." When God says, "You are a new creation in Christ, old things have passed away," he's simply saying there's not an accusation the enemy has or an accusation the human heart has that can open the door of that ark again. You are sealed in that ark. Amen. That blood is impenetrable. There's not an argument the world has that can penetrate that ark. Now, I see I got some of you in shock because you're looking at me kind of strange, but I'm telling you, I know it's a horrible act. But that's the power of the blood. There's not an accusation that can open the door of that ark again. The flood cannot, of the accusations of the enemy, cannot come and accuse that man again. Now, that doesn't mean as pastors that you don't use wisdom and things like that and be careful. But I'm talking about the man standing with God. Listen. Because God shut the door, there wasn't a power outside that ark that could open that door. Amen. And in this new covenant way, when we are covered by the blood and God has shut us into his salvation, there isn't an accusation that can open that ark door again. So now let's ask a question. Well, did the flood have any effect upon the ark at all? Have any effect? But look with me at verse 17 and 18. Verse 17 and 18 says, "And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters." Beloved, because the pitch was so strong and so solid and so impenetrable and kept the ark from sinking, the only thing the flood waters did was cause the ark to go up a little higher. As the waters increased, it carried the ark up a little higher. And I truly believe this speaks of the greatness of God's grace in the new covenant. Every storm only causes grace to carry us up a little higher. Every difficulty serves to lift us up a little more in the strength of the Lord. Every place of weakness only serves to fortify God's overcoming strength in our lives. I love that. The only thing the flood did was cause the ark to go up a little higher. And when storms come in our life, all it does is cause grace to pick us up and carry us up just a little bit more higher. Amen. You know, I'm reminded of Paul's words. Paul said, "Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, because when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul is saying, "I have learned the secret to strength. When I am pressed into places of human weakness, this is when God's grace picks me up and carries me into places that my own strength could never go." You know, so often we see the things that keep us in places of weakness and struggle as obstacles and hindrances in our lives. We feel that if we didn't have to deal with these kind of struggles and deal with these kind of issues, we would be more effective in our Christian walk and we would be more impactful in our ministry. And yet we don't realize these are the very things that cause God's strength to operate in our lives. These are the very things that cause us to walk in places our own strength could never go. Amen. So my question is, what are the struggles in your life that you think are a hindrance? You know, Paul thought his thorn in the flesh was a hindrance. What are the things, what are the struggles in our life that we consider to be obstacles? What are the things that we struggle with in our lives that we keep telling the Lord, if I didn't have this, I could be a more effective Christian. I could be a more impactful witness. I could be more impactful in the ministry if I just didn't have to deal with this weakness and this struggle. You know, what are those things? Maybe you don't realize these are the very things that causes Christ's strength to be strong in you. Maybe you don't realize that right now you are walking in places that your own strength could never carry you because of these very things that bring struggle in your life. Maybe you don't realize, and maybe I don't realize, these are the very things that are making your ministry supernatural. What Paul was saying. Amen. Look with me at verse 19 and 20. It says, "And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered." The high hills were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. So the waters upon the earth were so great, they covered all the hills and the mountains. And beloved, hills and mountains are immovable. They are something that has great strength and they are so fixed, they can't be moved. But the flood waters only caused the ark to be lifted up above these insurmountable things. And here's my point. These hills and mountains can represent obstacles before us that are impossible for our own strength to surmount and for our own strength to transcend. And yet we have no idea how many insurmountable, how many undefeatable obstacles the power of weakness is carrying us in victory over right now. Amen. You have no idea, I have no idea how many impossible things the power of weakness is giving us victory over now. Amen. Things that are not insurmountable. have suddenly become surmountable because of the power of weakness in my life. Amen. So what things in your life do you consider a hindrance? Well, God, if I didn't have to deal with this in my life, if I didn't have to struggle with this in my life, I would be more impactful. God says, no, that's the very thing that's causing your ministry and causing your witness to be supernatural. Because in your weakness, my strength is perfected. Amen. Well, I want to end with this. Here's what I want to end with this morning. Look with me at chapter 8, verse 15. I'm going to read through verse 19. And God spoke unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wives, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. So the flood's finally over. And what I'd like us to realize is that Noah and his family stepped off the ark and into a brand new world. Noah and his family stepped into new beginnings. That's what they stepped into. And Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And isn't that the wonderful hope of the gospel? That the moment we're born again, it means new beginnings. It means I am not the same man. And you are not the same woman. We have walked into new beginnings. You know, there's a country gospel song that I really like. And I'm not a singer, but I want to sing it for you. There's one line. A couple lines. It goes like this. It says, the man you see before you now is not the same. I may wear the same old clothes and have the same old name, but you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you'd see I'm a brand new man. The old man is dead. Amen. I'm a new man. Amen. And being a new creature in Christ also means God changes your desires. And God gives you the power to walk in new directions. And I really love that. He changes your desires and gives you the power to walk in new directions. You know, I remember the morning after I got saved. I went to work that day and I still smelled like cheap wine and dope. But I walked in there. I still had the burn marks around my lips because of hallucinogens that I was taking. But I walked in there saved. I didn't have time to take a shower. I got saved in a party. That's where God saved me. And I went to work that day and I saw my boss and I told my boss, I got saved last night. Jesus saved me. And you know, an old cheesy grin came across his face and he said, well, that's great. You know, that's great. That's the best news I've heard all morning. That's great. And he turned around and he walked away. Well, 2 years later, it was my last day at work because I was coming to a Bible school that I heard about called Mount Zion. Now, Summit. It's my very last day at work. I was excited. I'm going to Bible school. And I'll never forget, my boss, the same boss, came up to me and he said, do you remember that day you told me you got saved? And I said, yeah, I remember that day like it was yesterday. He said, you know, when you told me you got saved, you know what went through my mind? This is what went through my mind. He won't last 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, he's going to be out there doing the same thing he's always done. He's not going to last 2 weeks. But Tim, I come to apologize. Through your life, I have learned God can change a man. And I want to say that I'm sorry. You've changed. And it's such a transformation. It's such a change. Basically, this is what he said. Only God could do that. I'm telling you, when you're a new creature, it means God gives you new desires. And it gives you power to walk in a new direction. And that's why I'm so grateful for the blood this morning. Amen. Stand with me this morning. I don't really have an altar call. These were just things that the Lord put upon my heart. And so I'm not going to give an altar call this morning, but I do want to pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the power of the blood. I thank you that our salvation is watertight. I thank you no matter how powerful the accusations of the enemy that rage outside of this ark. I thank you, Lord, he can't even find a pinhole to come through. Lord, I thank you that our salvation is watertight, God. It's impenetrable. The enemy has no ground of accusation in our lives, Lord. Father, when we knelt at that cross, that blood washed our sins away. It sealed us in your righteousness. It planted a testimony that we are new creation in Christ. And God, there isn't an accusation, Lord, outside of that ark that can open that door again and let the floodwaters in. No, 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 God. When you said we are a new creature, we are a new creature. When you said old things have passed away, old things have passed away. Lord, the accusations of the enemy and even the accusations of people's own hearts cannot open that ark door again. God, we are sealed as that new creature. And God, we don't have to carry the shame of our past and walk in the shame of our past. God, we are a new man and a new woman. Lord, I may have the same old name, wear the same old clothes. But God, that's because people's looking on the outside. If they could see on the inside, they would see that old man is dead. God, I thank you for that. Thank you for the power of the blood, God. And we love you today. Thank you for that power. And we love you today, God. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.